Welcome to the Voice of Hope podcast. We're going to share some slightly different material than our usual Bible study content. Recently, Heralds of Hope had a series of fundraising breakfasts, which included a business topic by a local business leader. The following presentation, entitled The Serving Leader, was made at the Strategic Partner Breakfast event in East Earl, Pennsylvania, by Delbert Hoover. I certainly learned a lot, and I trust you will too. Enjoy.
Good morning. Thank you for the introduction, Jeremy. It's an honor to be invited here and fellowship with all of you. Do you ever long to really make a real difference in the world? Serving leaders are ones who make a real lasting impact. And I hope this morning something can be shared that can be an encouragement to you. We're all on a leadership journey. And leadership doesn't start at any age, which you all know that. Leadership is more about who we are than what we do.
And the heart of a serving leader is to help others become the best version of themselves. Serving leaders are in charge only to charge people up. So 250 years ago, just 5 miles from here, lived a young, fatherless immigrant, 14-year-old boy. And one day he took all his savings. I don't know if it was all his savings, but he pulled his savings together and he took a trip across Ephrata, which was a little more of a trek than it is nowadays. But he stopped at Ephrata Cloister and he made a purchase. He bought a book. And this was a large book. It wasn't just an ordinary book. This book was a martyr's mirror. He paid £1 and 17 shillings for this book. According to my calculation, in today's world, that would equate to be equivalent to about $4,000 for a 14-year-old boy to invest $4,000. That's quite an investment. So what possessed him to make that purchase? On the inside, he wrote, "This martyr's book belongs to me, Christian Burkholder. And I had purchased it for the benefit of my soul's salvation in the year of Christ, 1761, February 15th, and it cost me £1, 17 shillings. Christian grew up to become a very influential church leader and writer. His writings were largely directed towards youth to coach them to become the best they could be. I believe it's safe to say that every person in this room has been marked by Christian's presence on the earth. Maybe not directly, but your great-grandparents or someone in your life that Christian's writings have influenced. There's a friend of mine that turned his back on the church, on his parents, and he married in the world. And he started, I guess life was sort of empty. He started searching for answers. And here I'm part of Stephen's testimony. About 9 years ago, I was a member at a non-denominational charismatic type church, and I began to seriously study the Bible, especially the New Testament, and was troubled at what appeared to me as a lack of obedience to some of Jesus' and the apostles' teachings. So I began to search church history to see if I could find some answers to why things were that way. In my search, I came across a book called Saving Faith. This is where I found the writings of Christian Burkholder and was amazed at the biblical soundness and depth of understanding with the Word of God shining from his writings. It helped me navigate some of the difficult questions that sincere Christians face in their search of truth, and have reread this work many times since for encouragement. This writing was one of the many things that led me back to the church of my youth and helped me see the tremendous value of the conservative Mennonite church and its teachings and applications of biblical truth. Stephen Weiler. Now, what is it that made Christians so influential? 200 years later, he's affecting lives that read his writings. I believe Christian was an excellent example of a serving leader. And this morning, we'll take a look at some of the foundational attitudes and habits that Christian lived out. Now, all of you have heard of servant leadership. We've all been around the block there. And we're told to be a servant leader on one hand and to serve like Christ on the other one. And I'm not sure if those two really mesh. I can support all the principles they teach in servant leadership, but there's a negative connotation that comes with the word servant, what we think about as a servant. Here I just made a short list of some of the differences between serving mindset versus servant mindset. Jesus, he went to the cross because he had to, or because he wanted to out of love for you and me. He almost always had a serving mindset, whereas a servant does something because they have to. A serving person, they believe they have value. They believe it's worth investing in their own lives. A servant would always believe others have, or most often believe others have more value. A serving person would develop others, whereas a servant completes tasks. A serving mindset, they bring value. A servant would create dependency. The serving mindset allows others to serve us. And the servant mindset struggles to accept being served. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet and he came to Peter and said, "Peter, hey, I want to wash your feet." Peter said, "No, no, no, no. My master won't wash my feet." Did he have a servant mindset or a serving mindset? And then serving leaders have a strange humility about them. Again, this is more about who we are than what we do. So how do I become a serving leader that helps others become the best version of themselves? There's three very simple, necessary traits that present themselves in every serving leader. They're willing to lead themselves. They adopt a growth mindset, and they develop a coaching habit. So we'll dive into each of these a little deeper. A serving leader is a thermostat, not a thermometer. A thermostat sets the temperature in the room, whereas a thermometer just tells you what the temperature is. They influence the room with themselves. So how can you tell a serving leader apart from another leader? If you look at his surroundings, the pasture around them, what does that look like? If you were to meet this leader, things would look pretty good. There's a glow around him. Things are shining. If you were to meet him, you may think he's a successful person. But if you look at his surroundings, you start seeing worn people, people that are tired. The petals are starting to fall off there. And if you notice on himself, his petals are turned inward, using the resources around him to develop, or maybe a better word would be to protect himself, his security. When we are insecure within ourselves, we will demand that others serve us. It creates an eggshell environment where you never know what's going to come up next, what they're going to react to next, or what's expected. A serving leader is a secure person who understands who he is and what he has to offer. If you notice the surroundings there, his petals are turned outward. He's feeding people. You see an environment that is thriving, growing. As a leader exports himself to others and feeds them, you see here, there's a few that are starting to do the same and follow his example. Your business will only grow to the level of your character, the character of the leader. When we are not secure, we always feel threatened by other people that are better than ourselves. But secure people look for those better people and surround themselves with those people. There's nothing like a well-rounded person, but there are things like a well-rounded team. Insecure people are always driven by fear. And fear, if they delegate, they will be less needed and less valued. Becoming secure enables you to delegate, and your capacity in your businesses or organizations is always held hostage by the lack of delegation and administration. And becoming a secure leader is a process. It's okay if we're insecure, but it's not okay to stay there. So who is your audience? Who are you trying to please in your leadership? If you have one in your audience, and that is God, and believe what he says, if you believe what he says about you, you should have courage and humility, which leads to fellowship, contentment, and eternal perspective. But if you are using people as your audience, you will deal with pride and fear and end up with broken relationships, comparison, and temporal focus. Satan's formula for self-worth is my performance plus opinion of others equals my self-worth. A serving leader has two roles. Shepherding is where the leader shares his vision, and the followers support that vision. As a team develops, the role is more in stewarding, where your followers accomplish your mission, and the leader comes around and supports. So, why is serving leadership important? You know, we're all headed to the grave. And after that, the only lasting effect in this earth and in eternity will be what you have given to other people. The cups of cold water that you shared, everything done to protect your image, yourself and your image will have no value. So how do I become a serving leader that helps others be the best version of themselves? So if you're willing to lead yourself, a life's pressure creates an oil in a reservoir that over time, there comes a time when you need to start pouring that oil out, or when you're called to start pouring that out. And by leading yourself, you learn to operate as a child of the King, not a spirit of an orphan. You take time to hear what God is saying about you. If you hum, if you open a piano and hum the exact chord that you're humming, that string will vibrate. And the same as when we hear truth from God, something vibrates in your heart. When you hear truth, your heart vibrates. You run to a great purpose. Is your purpose compelling enough for other people to buy in and follow? One way to identify your purpose is what makes your heart sing? What makes you feel full? And, you know, I could die now because I feel complete. Another tool is anger. Anger can help you identify what your values are. We find we become angry when our values are stepped on. And then God gives you gifts to complete your purpose, to enable you to carry out that purpose. And then invest to maximize your passion and dream. Like Christian did, he made investments to maximize his gifts in carrying out his passion. A mentor spoke a dream into me. He told me one time that if, Delbert, there's things in your heart, and if you don't find a way to share them with your team, you will always be restless. And then through that, we were able to start having more team meetings, and I was able to share my vision to our team, which has really blessed our business. If it wouldn't be for that person to speak that dream into me, I may not be here this morning either. It really helped change the way we do business. We changed from being in using people to grow our business to being in the people business. The grocery industry is just the avenue we use to carry that out. And the more you can find yourself living in the sweet spot, as Luke Kupfer would call it, where your passions, proficiency, and profitability intersect, you will find your people living more of an abundant, happier life. And then influence a growth environment. So what if we invest in our people and they end up leaving? But a better question might be, what if our people don't grow and end up staying? The reward of team growth far outweighs the risk. We had a department where just a half a year ago, I wasn't sure if the leader would ever take the team to where I would want them to go. But recently, we started having meetings where we'd have a book study, and I would just try to help them grow personally, and then we'd read a book and then go through, have a meeting and just discuss how this applies to their life and their team. And just recently they started having meetings. The culture in the team has been changing, and it's all happening without me. Things that I thought aren't possible. It's really fun to actually see your people grow. And then develop a coaching habit. Curious listening. Curious listening doesn't listen to give advice. All of us need to tame our advice monster. Everyone has solutions that pop up and we're just dying to share. And it makes us feel better because we're bringing value to say, So learn to say less and ask more. Ask open-ended questions. Questions like, well, don't you think, or just statements posed as a question. Rather, questions like, what made you come to that conclusion? Or what are you seeing here? Curious listening listens to learn about the person. And be careful that you don't coach a ghost. The person that is not in the room is coaching a ghost. If people come and want to talk about someone else, bring them back to how is this affecting you? What is this doing? Or why does it matter to you? People don't like vulnerable conversations, so they try to focus on someone else. And then build on strengths. Servant leadership builds on assets that are present instead of focusing on problems. Instead of focusing on problems, they focus on solutions that already exist. In Christian Burkholder's writings, when people were saying the church is lost, there's nothing left, he said, there seems to be a mentality to destroy and build something else. And destroying this Babel, instead of let's build up Jericho and call that Zion. He felt there's enough of material left in the church that they could build from within. Find something positive in each person and build on that. You may have heard the best thing is to do is work on our weaknesses, but actually the opposite is true. When you enable your team to live in their strengths, you have a happier team. And then just find people to cover for each other's weaknesses. Blaze the trail. Remove obstacles that keep them from exceeding. And don't ask them to go places that you aren't willing to go yourself. Raise the bar. Set clear expectations. Where expectations are clear, accountability is fair. Christian also had the vision to help others go further than himself. He raised the bar for them. When a young man asked Christian, how far can a person advance in the new birth? He said, well, for one thing, I wish that you could get further than I have in my new birth experience. If you're to really be effective as a serving leader, you first need to lead yourself like Jesus. He led himself. He was obedient at the age of 12. You find many times he would take time for himself. And then he had his inner circle that he went deep with that was apart from the crowd. And his 12, and then they commissioned the 70. There were 120 at the Pentecost. And there were 3,000 converts. 120 believers, and then they had 3,000 converts. So who are those on your sphere of influence? You never know how far reaching your influence will be. The Monday after the 1972 Agnes flood, there was a young man that traveled out to the Susquehanna to see if there's someone he could help. And he found a store that had a bunch of mud in and they were mucking this out. Senator Richard Swigert was coming down 11 and 15, and he saw the activity there, so he pulled over. He lived at Wilkes-Barre or somewhere up there, was headed to Washington, D.C. So he found this young man, and he asked whose store this is, and the young man said, well, he doesn't know. He said, well, you're here working, and you don't know him? Yes, he just came out and saw they needed help. I see. That really left an impression on Richard. As he drove down to Washington, D.C., later that week, on a Wednesday or Thursday, the Amish Steering Committee, which is a committee that meets in Washington, D.C. to address issues and concerns with the Plain Circles, and they filed in for this meeting, and Richard stood up and he said, before we start the meeting, I want to share one thing with you. And he shared this story, how he came down. And he met this young man, and he wondered what would cause a young man to do that. And he said, today, I'm going to do whatever I can for you because of what that young man did. It left an impression on him. That young man made a difference in Washington, D.C. that day. He never knew it. But when we actively serve our people, you will reap dividends in ways that you never expect. So a blessing to each of you as you go out and serve those around you. Jeremy and I are on the board for Simbiz Network, which for a smaller investment than Christian Burkholder made as 14, you can be part of a business network that gives you the tools and enables you as a group to grow and become a real impactful serving leader. I have brochures here. If any of you want some, you can get some later. I also have a book here by Dale Burkholder on Christian Burkholder. If you have any interest in paging through, you're welcome to do that. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you for listening to The Serving Leader by Delbert Hoover. If you would like to know more about Heralds of Hope or this presentation, please visit our website, heraldsofhope.org, or call us, 717-485-4021, or you can email hope@heraldsofhope.org.